Let us all bow heads in silent prayer to prepare our hearts for the Sabbath service. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commence our Saturday morning service. Let us all arise to sing hymn 234. 234. Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee. And though it be a cross that breaks us free, still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee. Though like the wanderer, the sun gone down, darkness be over me, my rest assured. Yet in my dreams I be nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer to Thee. There let them pray again, steps unto heaven. All that Thou sendest me in mercy give. Angels go back on me, nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer to Thee. Then with my waking thoughts, bright with Thy praise, out of my stony graves, be Thou our grace. So by my woes will be nearer, my God, to Thee. Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee. We thank our Lord Jesus Christ. We are able to gather here on this through this online service on this Sabbath day, the blessed day of our Lord Jesus. Now, in our first prayer, we entrust and commit this service into the hands of our Almighty God. Shall we now, in one accord, in the name of Jesus Christ, kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Or Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. First and foremost, we give all the glory and praise to our Lord God in heaven, that this evening, this Saturday morning, we are all able to gather here to worship our Lord God in heaven. And we also send greetings of peace to all our ministers, brothers and sisters, and peace to all of you. We give thanks to the Lord that on this Sabbath, we are still able to enjoy the peace and the joy that the Lord has given to us. And we pray that the blessings of God will come upon all those who observe this commandment of the Lord. And even though in the period of this MCO and lockdown, we are not able to gather in the church, in the house of God, to worship Him, but we are still able to have this peace, to listen to the Word of God. And at the same time, we also have this peace to be able to listen to the wonderful testimonies that we would like to share. We give thanks and praise to our Lord. So for this Sabbath morning service, we shall discuss on this topic, that day. In fact, this phrase or this term, that day, is repeatedly mentioned in the New Testament, where Jesus, in the Gospel books, he has also mentioned this many times. Even apostles like Paul and Peter too mentioned when they wrote the epistles in the New Testament. And it actually refers to the day when Jesus will come again. Of course, as the scripture tells us, no one knows when Jesus will come again. But the Bible tells us that we are to prepare for His second coming. So how are we to prepare ourselves? This is something that we can view or we can see in two aspects. Firstly, that is to prepare ourselves to attain to the standard or the requirement of God, where in all aspects we are able to manifest the divine nature, for example, in our speech, our conduct, our thoughts, that we are able to reflect that we are indeed the people of God. For the scripture have said that we are the chosen ones of God. And secondly, the entire church too is to attain perfection. As we know, the perfect church is the bride of Christ, and when Jesus comes again, He will take this bride back to heaven. So for this service, we shall see this statement, how is it, first of all, viewed or seen in the New Testament. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, Gospel according to Matthew chapter 24, let's see verse 36. Matthew 24 verse 36. Matthew 24 verse 36, in the name of Jesus I read, But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. So here it says, no one knows when the Lord will come again, only the Heavenly Father knows. Let's continue to see verse 37 to verse 39. Verse 37, for as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. 38, for as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. 39, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. So our times or the days now is likened to the times of Noah, where the thoughts of men, the lifestyle of men today is very similar to the days of Noah. They seemingly pass a very normal life before knowing when the flood will come. So the day when Noah entered the ark, the flood came and all of them were taken away. So actually the flood came in the day that they least expect. And if we were to look into the work or the job of Noah, from the scripture, especially in 2 Peter, tells us that he was a preacher of righteousness. He was preaching to the people at that time that the flood was coming. But at that time, no one listened to him. So when the flood came, except the household of Noah, which consisted of 8 people, all of them were destroyed. But in verse 38 says, until the day when Noah entered the ark. So what are the teachings that we can learn from this statement or this verse? Where we know that the ark of Noah represented the one true church today. And today we are in the church of God. So we must be very clear of one matter. That is, when Jesus comes, the church must attain perfection. And in order to be saved, we must be part of this perfect church. If we belong to this church of God, then on the day when Jesus comes again, then we can face the Lord. Jesus, because we have prepared ourselves to meet our Lord. Until the day when Noah came, when the flood came, we know if we prepare ourselves, just like them, for they did not prepare. So as a result, when the flood came, all of them were destroyed. So that is to say, when the church has reached its perfection, that is the time when Jesus will come again, just like the time of Noah. After Noah entered the ark, God shut the door of the ark. So we must be part of this perfect church of God in order to be saved. Let's turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Gospel according to Luke chapter 21, we see from verses 34 to 36. Luke chapter 21, verses 34 to 36. Verse 34. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. 35. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. 36. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So when Jesus comes again, here it tells us he will come as a thief in the night. No thief will come to rob a person's house or rob a certain place by telling him or her beforehand. So here Jesus tells us to watch. Today, we are all living in an abundant country, a developed nation and country. So physically, we are not in lacking. So we can see in our lives, especially if we compare our lives to the times before this pandemic occurred, this world, everybody is living abundantly in a country or in a world which is so developed. But here, our Lord Jesus reminded us that we are to take note of a few things. So the first thing here it mentions, our hearts, we must be watchful so that it will not be weighed down with dissipation. Or in the Chinese Bible, it says in a state of greed, where we waste everything we have. If we look into our lives today, we spend a lot of time on the things of this present life. We have wasted so much of the grace of God unknowingly or even knowingly. And then he also mentions that our hearts are not to be weighed down with drunkenness. This is not talking just about physical alcohol that causes us to be drunk, but we are also at times being lost or addicted to certain things of the world that we are not able to detach ourselves from. And the next thing also tells us that we are also to take note that our hearts are not only just to be weighed down by dissipation, drunkenness, and here mentions the next one, that is the cares of this life. That is to say, what our minds or thoughts is focused upon the things of this present life. If we do this, our hearts are already bound. And with such a life, our heart is not pure. So we are not able to draw near to God. And we will struggle, or rather even at times, not able to understand the will of God. What more, we are not even able to have the strength to live a life that is pleasing to God, because our heart had been burdened and enchained by the world and the things of the world. And if that is the case, then when Jesus comes again, on that day when the Lord comes again, we will not be prepared just for his second coming. Or probably we will just be like the five foolish virgins who were left outside. We all know we should not pass a worldly life, but many may find this is important. So as a result, when they find the things of the world more important, then we would not have this type of sense of urgency, or what we call a sense of eagerness or zealousness to change ourselves, or even to cultivate ourselves spiritually. We would not want to pursue spiritual nurture, spiritual cultivation. For our hearts is no longer directed towards God, but only inclined and focused to the world. That's why Jesus often tells us that we are to be watchful and pray. So when we talk about to be watchful, what does it mean? It means to examine whether our hearts are bound by the things of this world or not. To constantly pray so that the Lord God, so that we'll be able to free ourselves from these things. So that our hearts are no longer weighed down or brought down by all these things. It is only by having such a lifestyle that our lives are affected. So dear brothers and sisters, if we are able to be watchful and to pray in that day, in the day before Jesus comes again, then we will be able to improve in our spirituality, in our spiritual life. Of course, this needs to be done by the help of God. And usually we are really very used to certain lifestyle. Just like certain people, they have already a certain fixed mindset of certain issues. And in their lives too, they also would like to pass a life that is according to that nature, that model, that mindset. So because they find that they themselves, or even we ourselves, we find that it is already good enough. Of course, we thank God, we do pray, we do attend services. But deep in our heart, we are not able to go a little step further. So we struggle to improve. If we want to improve, then our lifestyle, which includes our thought, our conduct, must start to change. And we must be able to change to the point that we do not focus on the things of the world anymore, but rather we focus on the things of God. And most of the time today in our lives, we find that we are always focused upon the things of the world. And we do not care about the things of the kingdom of God or even our spiritual nature. So as a result, we are not well prepared to meet our Lord. That's why in the scripture has been telling us many times that we are to be prepared. For the Lord will come in a day that we least expect. And just now we have mentioned that the day of the Lord is likened to a thief. Therefore today we must always be well prepared and ready. So in order to change ourselves, we know it is difficult. We need to pray to the Lord to strengthen us, so that we have the strength to change ourselves, to readjust our lives so that we can become more spiritual. By ourselves, by our strength, we are not able to attain to the requirement of our Lord God. But we thank God. We have been chosen, we have believed in the Lord, and we thank God we too have the presence of the Holy Spirit. We too have the Holy Spirit to be able to strengthen us, to change our lives, so that we'll be able to pass a life that is worthy and pleasing to the eyes of God. Let's see what Paul tells us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we see verses 3 and 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Verse 3. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. So here, these teachings of Paul is very similar to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we have just read in Gospel according to Luke just now. So no one actually will know when Jesus will come. When the people are saying peace and security, that is actually at that time our Lord Jesus will come. So in verse 4 also tells us here, but you are not in darkness, brothers. Not in darkness. If we are well prepared of the day when Jesus comes again, where he will be likened to a thief. So if we are well prepared, we are not afraid, because we are already at constant preparation for his second coming. And this day will not surprise us, because we are already well prepared. But today we are not in darkness. In our life of faith, yes, we find that many things we do may not be correct. Probably we are too walking in darkness. So we shall see from the scriptures a few biblical examples to illustrate this point. First and foremost, let's turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, let's see verses 19 to 21. John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. Verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. 20. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Verse 21, but whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So when Jesus came to this world, so here our Lord Jesus talked and discussed about the deeds of men, where the deeds of men are evil, for they do whatever which are in contrast with the teachings of the Bible. Or in short, they go against the truth. They go against the teachings of the Bible. Therefore, they do not like the light. The darkness will not like the light. They love darkness, for their deeds are evil. So in this verse here, it does not just only refer to those who do not believe in God. At times too, our conduct is not according to the truth when we are still in darkness. Therefore, today, if we were to examine ourselves, many life habits, thoughts actually are not pleasing to God. And it contradicts with the truth that we preach and even the truth that we believe. So can we still be in the light? So with the standard of the truth, we find that we are not able to attain to it. So we continually remain in darkness. So if we want to change ourselves, what is the way? That is the only way is to use the Word of God as a standard to measure ourselves against. For the standard of the Word of God is forever fixed in heaven. And that is the ultimate standard. And that is the absolute standard that the Lord God had laid for us. Where the teachings of the Bible to us is very clear. Whatever that goes beyond the teachings of the Bible, then this is something that is not pleasing to Him. When something is not pleasing to Him, this equates to sin. This equates to transgressions. So as a result, we are not to go beyond this mark or go beyond this line. That is why we need to use a standard, a measure to know what we have done. Then this standard or this measure is the Word of God. So some of our old habits, even our wrong concepts, can only be changed with the Word of God. Only then we are able to say we are well prepared to meet our Lord Jesus. Some people may ask, I have really believed in the Lord. I have all the freedom. I need to do whatever I can do. There's nothing to stop me. For example, people may ask, can I smoke? Yeah, people will turn to the scripture and say, there's no record in the scripture says we cannot smoke. Is it wrong to smoke? Is it a sin to do so? People will ask again. But when we talk about these issues, these ethical issues, the principle is very clear. Is it glorifying to God to do so? Is it beneficial to us? Is it edifying to us? Is it edifying to the people around us by seeing us? We smoke, we as a Christian, but we still smoke. Is this good? We have to ask ourselves. So this, and the third thing, are we being controlled? Are we being mastered by all these things? If we are being controlled by all these things, then why should we do it? If it is not glorifying to God, why should we do it? And if it is not even edifying or beneficial to us, why should we do it? So that is why we need to see again back to the principle or even back to the recordings of the scripture. Should I do this or should I not do this? So all the more, let us use the Word of God as a standard of measure in our life of faith. Secondly, let's see another example. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Let's see verse 7. The book, the epistle of 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. So here it tells us concerning the fellowship with the Lord, where the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Then we see verse 10. Verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So this passage tells us, let's see verse 9. First John chapter 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here it tells us, as men, of course, we struggle at times even to admit or even to confess our sins before the Lord. Therefore, we are actually still in darkness. Part of preparing ourselves before Jesus comes again on that day is to rely upon Jesus and not to sin anymore. That is to depart from darkness. But how are we going to do this? We have to confess our sin. When we talk about confess, we must be determined to rely upon Jesus. And at the same time, our heart must be determined that we are not to sin anymore. In many areas or aspects, we have failed to meet the expectation of our Lord God. For example, we may have wronged another person or even anyone at all, and we still continue to serve the Lord constantly too. If we examine our motive of service to the Lord, even our attitude in service, we find that in many times it is against the standard of God. So if we do not change ourselves to be in line with the teachings of the Bible, then our service will not be pleasing or even acceptable to God. Then how can we prepare ourselves then? Service is not just out of gratitude towards God only, but the most important thing is, are we able to know God more and more? If our service is not acceptable to the Lord God, how can the church be perfect? How can it be made perfect? We teach others to do so, but oftentimes we actually fail to do so. And when are we able then to see the church to be able to achieve perfection then? In their servitude, many people also do not want to seek any improvement or to even to become better. In this aspect, therefore, we need to confess our sins, to repent before the Lord God, so that we will be able to lead the church unto perfection. Therefore, our attitude, our motive of service must change and become pure. Thirdly, let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, let's see from verses 9 to 11. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Verse 11. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So here Elder John is talking to the believers, because at that time, even believers will walk in darkness as well. So here it says, he who hates his own brother is still in darkness. Probably in our lives, we have a very good reason to hate another person, because these people are not good. And whatever they have done, especially to us, is being unreasonable. But the teaching of the Bible is very clear. No matter we are right or wrong, or others are right or wrong, how in the way they have treated us, but in our hearts, we should not harbor any hatred. For in God, there is no hatred. And we know that the church is the body of God. And in order to be a part of this body, we have to remove this hatred. Actually, we still have a long way to go towards perfection. So we must be able to strive that in our hearts, we are to be filled with the love of God. But the question is, how can this be possible? We are only humans. Yes, we do not deny. With man, it is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. But the question is, many a times we may ask ourselves in our life, yes, someone has done wrong to me, I will hate him for the rest of my life. And even to the extent, as the people of the world often say, I will hate the person to the point even unto his death, unto the time he goes into the grave, we still hate him. This is the sinful nature of man that is unable to change. So this is the heart of man. But today we need to have our hearts to be changed from a state of hatred to a state of love. So if we are preparing for the day of the Lord, another thing that should not be lacking is our love for others, our love for God. If we say we love God, whom we cannot see, but we still do not, unable to manifest this love towards our own brethren, whom we cannot see, whom we can see, this is something that is unacceptable. So, dear brothers and sisters, especially during these times, let us examine our love for one another. Let us be able to extend our concern for our brethren, for our brothers and sisters, especially those who are in need, who are in pain, who are in sorrow, especially during these times. We know that during this period of pandemic, many people are suffering. Many people are in need of encouragement. A little call of, hello, how are you doing, is more than sufficient. And we can also see that the love that is shown during this time, during these hard times, is actually a very valuable thing compared to during the times when everything is well, when everything is good. So, dear brothers and sisters, this is also a time to examine ourselves. Let the past be past. As the saying goes, let the bygones be bygones. Forgive and forget. Only then we will not only be able to live a joyful life, but at the same time too, we will be able to receive eternal peace and joy. And in our life, it's no longer bogged down by all these things. That every time we pass our life, if it is filled with burden, we can imagine how our life be. So that is why our hearts must be filled with the love of God. So if our hearts can be filled, if our hearts is filled with hatred, what will happen? Hatred will cause strife, dissension, division, even in the family, even in the church. So how can we change the church to be a more loving one? That is why here the Bible tells us we are to stand in the light and to live out the love of God in our lives, to ask God to purge out all this hatred in our heart so that we can be victorious in this life. How are we able to do so? That is to practice the love of God in our lives, to extend, to manifest our Lord Jesus. For we are all the disciples of Jesus. We are all the followers of Jesus. So we are to manifest our love to the people. So only then we will be able to bring them from death to enter into life, from darkness into a state of light. Fourthly, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. So here it tells us how will the earth be destroyed. That the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Again it's mentioned, no one will know when Jesus will come. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar. And then the heavenly bodies will all be burned up and dissolved. Of course, this is also referring to the future world war that will occur, where all the elements of the earth will be destroyed. And the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed, will be made known very clearly. And some will say, all these things will be burned up. So what should we do then? Let's see verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Since all these things are thus to be resolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Therefore today, we all also have to strive to be holy and to pass a godly life. Then in verse 13, let's see 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Verse 13. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So here refers to two things. That is a perfect church as well as the heavenly kingdom, where these new heavens and new earth can be explained in this way. So individually, we are to watch our conduct, to live a godly life in the church. And the church itself, as a whole, we need to pursue to be more holy and righteous. And then we are in our lives too, we are also to serve God according to the instruction of God. And our motive and our conduct must too be very correct. Only then we'll be able to pursue righteousness both in our individual lives and even in the church, where we know that the pleasure of God will be found in this manner. So therefore, dear brothers and sisters, during these times, during these last days, let us also prepare ourselves to face our Lord Jesus Christ, where we know that this day of our Lord is coming soon. Let us also prepare our hearts. So our encouragement shall end here. We give all the glory and praise to our Lord God. So before we conclude our morning Sabbath service, let's now again sing hymn 239, 239, Abide With Me.
Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comfort me, above the helpless, oh, abide with me. Swift to His close steps of life's little day, of joys redeemed, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O Thou who changest not, abide with me. I need Thy presence every passing hour. What but Thy grace can foil the tempter's power? O Thy Thyself my guide and stay can be. Through cloud and sunshine, O abide with me. O Thou Thy cross be for my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Amps morning breaks and earth's vain shadows free. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me.
We give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we shall say our concluding prayer. So in our prayer, we ask our Lord Jesus Christ to continue to guide and lead each and every one of us, especially during these hard times. And at the same time, we also intercede for all our brothers and sisters, our friends and relatives, are those who are not feeling well, physically and spiritually. At the same time, we also pray for our church and also for the nation. Of course, let us also not forget to pray for one another, to pray for our families too. Shall we now, in one accord, in the name of Jesus Christ, kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Our morning service shall end here. All glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.